I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let me read you a story via the BBC on the Crypto AG scandal that has shaken Switzerland. The title of the article is Swiss Crypto AG Spying Scandal Shakes Reputation for Neutrality. It's hard to exaggerate just how much the Crypto AG scandal has shaken Switzerland. For decades, U.S. and German intelligence used the Swiss companies' encoding devices to spy on other countries. And the revelations this week have provoked outrage. From the Cold War into the 2000s, Crypto AG sold the devices to more than 120 governments worldwide. The machines were encrypted, but it emerged this week that the CIA and Germany's BND had rigged the devices so they could crack the codes and intercept thousands of messages. Rumors had circulated in the past, but now everybody knows. All right, Alexander. So Crypto AG had these devices, and it looks like the spy agencies had a back door into them, and they were spying on the near 120 countries that were using Crypto AG's encryption devices.
It's a fascinating story, and of course it opens the lid on Cold War and post-Cold War spycraft. It's a bit reminiscent, by the way, of what happened in the 1930s and 1940s, when the most widely used encryption device that was used by governments and militaries around the world was the German Enigma machine. And the British managed to break the codes for that. But what they kept that secret, they shared the information with the US. And in fact, what happened was that all sorts of governments around the world continued to use Enigma machines for, you know, about a decade and a half or even two decades after the Second World War, without knowing that the US and the British were able to listen to what they were, to read their messages. And it seems that this seems to have put the idea into the heads of some people in the CIA that they were going to try and continue this successful penetration of other countries. And because more and more countries went to Switzerland, which is a neutral country and which kept away from alliances, they went there for their encryption devices under the assumption that because Switzerland was neutral, its encryption devices would be secure. The CIA and the BND, which, by the way, is the successor to the German wartime intelligence agencies that previously used the Enigma machines. Anyway, because the BND and the CIA were actually owned this company and had basically rigged these machines, they were able to continue for years listening in and reading what governments were saying. And one wonders what goes on now. Can I just say, apparently one government that was stung with all of this was the Iranian government. Apparently it has used these machines. So there's one country which has been an opponent of the United States, which has had its intelligence and its activities compromised, and badly compromised. Now we know that this has been happening. Presumably the CIA has moved on to other means of trying to crack codes and things of that kind. But of course, Switzerland is left in a major political crisis. I would add that the two countries that are the US's most serious adversaries, China and Russia, were not affected. They never bought or trusted these machines. They used their own encryption devices. I have been told that the US has never properly cracked them. So there we are.
So Alexander, this kind of hits at the heart of one of the most important aspects of Switzerland and Swiss society and Swiss politics is its neutrality. And I want to read you a short little sentence from the BBC article. Now that the Crypto AG scandal has emerged in all its tawdry detail, there's not a newspaper or broadcaster in the country that is not questioning Switzerland's neutrality. Quote, it's shattered, unquote, is a common phrase. So it's shattered. Is that true?
Yes, it is. The illusion of it is shattered, because the reality is that though Switzerland has always kept, kept itself distinct from the alliance, from the various alliances that have shaped the post-Cold War era, everybody who knows Switzerland at all well knows that it is fully part of the West. The Swiss banking system is absolutely part of the Western financial system, and Switzerland's political system is extremely similar to those of other Western countries. And of course, Switzerland also has very, very close and deep relations with the EU. So there's never been any real sense in which Switzerland has actually been a truly neutral country. I forgot to add that it also buys military equipment, some military equipment from the West also. So, I mean, this has been something of an illusion, but it is an illusion that the Swiss themselves, the Swiss people, were extremely closely attached to. So to have this illusion stripped away and laid bare in this fashion must be very difficult for many people in Switzerland. And it's not surprising that it's created uproar and a major political storm there.
Yeah, you've also had kind of the mystique of Switzerland not being a corrupt country. That's also been really shattered here as well, because the guy that was running Crypto AG, Kaspar Villiger, was also the defense minister at a point in time in the 1990s. And then he moved over to sell these flawed encryption machines, which were essentially spy vehicles for the US and Germany. So once again, you're seeing this military-industrial complex in bed with the government. You're seeing these rotating doors between defense ministers and CEOs of these MIC companies or these tech companies, communication companies, work in hand and glove with the spy agencies, the intel agencies, the weapons manufacturers. So once again, you're seeing that Switzerland, while people may think of Switzerland, and I certainly did and do, as a country which corruption has not, really seeped into the system.
Yes.
You get this scandal and you say, you know what, they're no different than a Greece, than a U.S.,
they're different. Switzerland is not as endemically corrupt as some countries are. But as I said, ultimately...
Right, it's at different levels, but yeah, it's different level. There it is, though. You're seeing corruption.
Can I also say something about Switzerland, which is, of course, that it is actually politically and economically very close to Germany. By the way, it also was during the Second World War. I mean, I don't want to minimize Swiss neutrality during the Second World War. The Swiss did actually keep a considerable distance from the Germans during the Second World War, but they always had to be extremely careful, because ultimately Swiss society and Germany are very interconnected with each other. And can I just say, it's not surprising that the BND, the German intelligence agency, was involved in all this activity. I suspect that it was through them that the United States got into Switzerland and was able to set up this connection with this Swiss company, Crypto AG, and also with the Swiss political class, because the Germans have always had very strong connections, both with Swiss industry and Swiss finance, and also with Switzerland's political class also. So it's a tawdry and ugly picture. I have to say, it didn't surprise me when I heard about this. It makes perfect sense. The Swiss, by the way, are involved in all kinds of things. I mean, their banks have played a very big role around the world in supporting all sorts of people who are friends of the United States. I remember the Ferdinand Marcos, who was the dictator of the Philippines. He had a Swiss bank account. Many people of that nature have Swiss bank accounts. The United States has known all about that, and has always green-lighted this sort of thing. And so Switzerland has played a role like this at multiple levels. It has been a convenience for the United States to have Switzerland appear neutral, when in reality, It is not.
Yeah, let me just make a small correction that Caspar Villager was never ran Crypto AG. I'm looking at it right now. He was never the managing director or CEO of it, but he was the defense minister in the 1990s, and he was helping to sell the machines while knowing that the CIA controlled Crypto AG and was selling flawed devices to 120 governments. And just very quickly, Alexander asked about Mr. Villager on Swiss TV. Rotating federal president Simonetta Sommaruga said the speculation made no sense. Quote, "We will discuss it when we have the facts," she said.
Well, we already have the facts. We know exactly what he was doing. And can I just say, he was the defense minister and he was actively promoting the sale of these devices, knowing what they were, then that's even worse, frankly, than if he was the actual head of the company. So, I mean, it makes it all extremely bad. And Switzerland comes out of it looking very bad. But at least one good thing that's come out of this is that, of course, countries around the world are not going to trust the Swiss with their encryption devices in future, or take Swiss neutrality seriously, and the Swiss people themselves will know a bit better the realities about what their country does. I should say, Swiss neutrality is not a total dead letter. There are institutions like the Swiss Red Cross, for example, which, to my knowledge, do try to maintain a certain distance from the great powers, and they do get some kind of support from being in Switzerland, which enables them to do that. So one mustn't, you know, say that it's a complete and total fiction, but it has been largely a fiction, and it's a good thing, if you like, that the mask has now been pulled.
All right, Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Hit on that notifications bell and smash that like button. Also, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps out this channel a whole lot, and we really need your help because we are demonetized all the time. And also go to The Durant Shop and pick up some merchandise. That also helps out this channel a whole lot, like the polo that Alexander is wearing today as we film this video tonight.
Tonight as we film this video, because of course it is the most stylish thing you can wear on a night out if you are really wanting to make a big splash. I have done so, and I can say that with absolute confidence. I was recently doing it in Berlin, where, believe me, it can be a very stylish city in places. So you have these amazing polo shirts, which you can find in our shop, the best polo shirts you will find anywhere, 100% cotton, extremely comfortable, extremely stylish. They fit amazingly. They're the joy to wear and a joy to be seen in. And it's not just polo shirts. You'll also find long sleeve t-shirts and short sleeve t-shirts, also of 100% cotton, also of the same quality. You'll find V-neck shirts as well. You'll find hats, hoodies, and stickers. You'll also find our famous and celebrated magic mugs, like the one that I'm drinking from at the moment. Beautifully made, incredibly stylish, light and strong, and as good as new, even though I've been drinking from it for over a year now. So that gives you an idea of the wonderful things we have in our shop. We also have, by the way, ebooks where you can see our further thoughts on topics like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Brexit, Epstein, they're all there. So support the Duran. As Alex rightly said, we are always under pressure. We have our subscribers, you know, taken from us. I recently met somebody who said that he'd been desubscribed 3 times without him knowing about it. So we have problems with our subscribers. We have problems with demonetization. Though we're very careful to say things that we are, you know, confident about, and we don't engage in wild or crazy speculations, and yet they're still trying to restrict us in every way they can. So if you like our commentary, if you want to support our site, and at the same time, if you want to earn these wonderful things that you can find on our shop, then come to our shop, buy these great things, support the Duran, and Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.